All right, I'm about 72, and I'm going to use that excuse and get mileage out of that. When Andy called me, I was really surprised. My first response is I'd fill in with him if I could get my courage up. And so far, so good. And then I was really excited. I was really looking forward to coming back to my home church. It's unbelievable to me that I can come back and speak to you. He told me he'd be in about the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I love the book of Hebrews. I think many of you do too. And chapter 11 seems to be a really important chapter in the book of Hebrews. And so we're going old school because I'm old school. And he also asked me if I had slides or that sort of thing, he'd be glad to, organize those and get them up. And I told him, no, we're gonna go old school. So we're giving the slide person the day off too. But I understand when you go old school, you also have to work a little harder. And I hope you have scriptures with you. One of the main points I want to get across today is that we need to know the Bible. Amen. From beginning to end. Because what we need is to get an overall, overarching picture. See, these motions, that's what they used to do back in the old... All right? No screen, but I'm telling you, there's an overarching story that's told in the Bible that explains what he's about and what his purpose is. What his purpose is for us. And if we don't get that overarching picture and purpose of God, we're going to get lost in this life. We're going to let our flesh pull us in all kinds of directions. We're going to create situations that are hellish in the little worlds that we live in. And it'll spread. We've got to get an idea of what our purpose is and how we fit into that, even individually. So I want to read Hebrews 11. I hope that you have a way to read along with me. From the New American Standard. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. As in a foreign land, and dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and aliens in the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons, the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. And by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months after his parents, 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. May God add His blessing. This is Memorial Weekend, and it's set aside to honor those who gave their life for the freedoms that we enjoy. I think one of the ways that we can honor that, if we want to, right? There's not much interest in that anymore, I guess. But if you want to, maybe go to those graves and sit and contemplate what they must have gone through, the cost of freedom. Freedom is not free. And once you've done that, then find a living veteran and thank him or her. Find out their story. Be grateful. Today, I want to talk about faith. Andy said I was supposed to find the main point. He knew he could assign this to me because it's repeated how many times? What's the main point? The main point is faith. Absolutely. And I wish, I'm used to doing Sunday school classes. I'm used to having 40 minutes. No, that's not acceptable. Especially in the first service. Okay. But let me, if I may, direct your attention to a few of these verses. Get as far as I can. One of the things that, I could try to define faith. The first verse gives a pretty good definition, but one, boy, you not only have to look up the word faith to understand what its meaning is, and faith is such a, I'm comparing it to a dense layered cake. Dense layered cake that is got numerous ingredients in it. A true faith is not simple. A true faith is rather complex. And one of the things that I want to focus on as far as the ingredients to make it a true faith, one of the ingredients is obedience. We need to have an obedient faith to God. Our danger, and I say our because I'm in the boat too, our danger is to get some favorite passages and only focus on them. And we kind of avoid then the ones that, I don't like that one so much. I don't want to be told what to do. We've had this problem since Adam and Eve, right? Where we have not esteemed our Creator to listen to Him and obey. And that has gotten us in this arching story from beginning to end, in so much trouble, so many hellish situations, and it looks like to me, if we don't begin to prioritize and honor God for the Creator God, the awesome God that He is and obey Him, we could be judged unsuitable for His purpose that's eternal. If I raise my voice, if I sound a little impatient, well, I can hardly see you out there with the cataracts and everything else being dark and stuff. I'm not looking at you necessarily individual. I just know you're probably kind of like me. When I raise my voice, it's because this has been in my life. And it bothers me that I'm like that. I don't want to be that way. And it seems to me like the way I get out of this trap is to listen, find, be interested, pursue the commandments of God. You know, there are different ways to look at commandments. All we know is that somebody tells us what to do and it's like, ooh, rebellion. There's like, forget it. I'm not going to do it your way. That's as natural as it comes from, yeah, my grandkids. There might be some of them in here. Recognize that. And recognize it as a problem. Right? And it gets compounded because, again, we'll focus on a little bit of God's Word, ignore a whole lot of God's Word. We look at faith and we turn it into a cheap kind of a faith. That's a word that gets thrown around nowadays. Just believe. Just believe. Well, it seems like when you look at the big picture, God would want us to believe and obey. He wants to be our Savior, but He is our Lord. So what do you think of Him? What is He to you? Is it, hey, just tell me a couple things I can do, and if I can do them, I'll do them if I feel like it. And let me do what I want to do. Well, here's the thing. Something I realized and am learning, realizing that I didn't choose to come into this world. That was not my choice. When we think about freedom, we got to think about the idea that freedom is not absolute. There were choices made by God Himself in designing us and even putting us into this world, giving us life. That was God's choice. He chose our skin color. He chose our time in history. He chose our parents. He chose our siblings. None of that did we choose. God chose that in His wisdom. And I think in His joy to create variety. God loves variety. Right? I didn't choose to come into the world. And once I'm here, though, I realize if I get the big picture, my life is eternal already. The only question is where I'm going to spend that time. We don't choose that. God makes that clear to us. We discover that about life. We discover we're made by God. We discover choices aren't always ours. They've been made for us. But hopefully, you and I realize as we get to know more and more about this loving God, how He provided the way for us to have forgiveness. And the steep, steep price it came at. And the number of people that were involved in getting us there. And that, here's another problem I experienced. I keep thinking, well, maybe I've done enough. Like, if I pick out certain passages to obey, then I think I can convince myself that, all right, I'm in. I'm good. Everything's great. And I can treat commandments that way. I've arrived. I am good enough. I don't think so. I mean, maybe for you, that's not for me. I find out what God wants to do is transform me. Because in the end, when you look at the last scene of this life, whether we die, whether he comes back, whatever it is, at the end, he's going to make a choice again. And there's only two possibilities. You're either going to be on the right or you're going to be on the left. And it seems like he has the desire to have a variety of people from all kinds of places. That was the promise to Abraham. That's what God wanted to do through Abraham. Create a people who would follow him, obey him, trust him, so that he would have this huge number of precious souls to be blessed by him and that would bless him. I don't think he's after just the number. I mean, it's a multitude. It's big. But it's also about quality. And the way that God gets the quality he wants is he gives us direction through commands of his promises and his commands. Sorry, I don't think I said that right. God is desiring a people of quality that are like Christ, that are Christ-like, that are godly. In Peter, Peter talks about that we would share his divine nature. We would truly be children of God in quality, and he's looking for that. And we could fall short of that. Hebrews has been telling us that, right? Andy reminded us in the beginning when he gave the background to the book. He said it appeared like the book was written to people who were ready to give up. Because they went through some terrible situations, painful, awful situations, rejection. I mean, look at the description of some of the things that the people of God went through to remain faithful, to express their faith, to grow in faith, to reach a mature faith. I'm reminded, as an old person, the temptation of an old person is to think that they've done enough and that they can sit down and rest. Rest is going to come. Jesus promises it. He promises us freedom, but it's going to be true freedom and it's going to be true rest. And it's not going to be in this lifetime necessarily. Not like he's planning. For those who will trust and obey, who will align their life to what God's word is, what God's will is. So I trust if you have any spark in you to want to do great works, go on grand adventures, not just survive, and get a doghouse, there's not promised a doghouse. If you get there, it's because you were challenged by God's will to conquer. And it begins with ourselves. It begins with ourselves. Thanks for your patience. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your costly grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your promises to walk with us, to guide us by your word. I pray that we would have enough interest in you and what you want, that we will pursue you. We will get to know you, and through the commandments, we'll understand your priorities. Please give us true peace. Give us patience. Give us endurance in this hard life that we're in. And may we build with precious stones. May we build with beautiful things rather than works that burn up like wood and straw. God, please bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.